I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My name is Amy, coming in hot fire. Got hot pan, fake tan in a can, that's my man. Everyone around me wanna pay me, saying Amy, Amy, Damey. I can't date you, I'm busy. You look like shit, you look fucking fizzy. I don't know what that means, but Cooper's beer, fuck that scene. I do what I fucking want, I look like a thot, I'm looking hot. Twerking, twerking, working hard, bleach blonde hair, you're my cunt. Whatever that means.
Hi, and welcome to the Modern Australian Underground podcast. I'm your host, Christina Papp, and on the show today, I'll be talking to Amy Taylor and Gus Roma, who both play in popular pub punk rock band, Amyl and the Sniffers. Amyl and the Sniffers started around the end of 2015 and quickly gained traction throughout the local Melbourne indie rock scene. They self-released a demo cassette titled Giddy Up in early 2016, were booked for a few gigs, and their tunes started to spread throughout Australia. In early 2017, they self-released a second cassette titled Big Attraction, which blew up with the hit I'm Not a Loser, bringing them international recognition. The Big Attraction cassette was re-released through Burger Records later in the year, and both cassettes were pressed to vinyl and released as a 12-inch at the start of 2018 through Melbourne's Homeless Records label. They've since gone on to extensively tour North America and Europe, release a few singles, and in 2019, released their debut and self-titled LP, Amyl and the Sniffers. I wanted to sit down with Amy and Gus and talk about going from being a local band like so many others to what seems like basically overnight blowing up and having extensive international tours booked, hitting the runway in Milan with Gucci, winning an ARIA Music Award, ARIA being the Australian Recording Industry Association for those listening outside of Australia, as well as several Music Victoria Awards. We go into their perspectives on their lives as just regular young people in the local music scene trying to have a beer, but constantly aware of being known and watched by the faceless world outside of their local pub and how it's affected them socially and mentally. We had a really fun conversation, and I want to thank Amy and Gus for coming in and chatting with me, as well as thank you for listening. Side note, Modern Australian Underground now has tote bags. The money made off them goes into keeping this podcast alive, so please pick one up via lulusmelb.com. We're going to open the show with a track, This Is Pleasure Forever, the first song off their first release, right here on the Modern Australian Underground. Oh, yeah. So I hope you don't mind me asking this, but tell me about the circumstances around how you guys got approached by Gucci. Because it's cool.
Isn't it like, crazy?
Hey, you got a bunch of, like, yeah, you, like, got to dress up and take a bunch of photos and you got a bunch of free shit, right?
I'm a model.
It's such a crazy experience. Yeah. I actually don't really know. Surfbot were really close with, like, Amyl and the Sniffers for a while. Yeah, like at the time, like we were, surfboard and us were like quite close, and I had a friendship with Danny, and so she's like in the fashion world a bit more in America, and she'd done stuff with Gucci before, I think. And so there was like heaps of, because we were playing gigs together, she was like posting about us on her Instagram. So I'm going to say that through that, they were kind of like, oh, what is this weird band? But they're like literally, I think they just like hit us up and were like,
they just emailed us one day and we're just like, come to Sicily in a week and a half and do this campaign.
Holy crap.
How crazy is
that? That's so sick.
It's really psycho.
Especially like being like, come to Sicily. I'm like, I would go to Sicily like even if it wasn't a Gucci thing. Sure, I'll go to Sicily.
It was really fucking out there. Like so fully bizarre. Like flew business class, which was so sick, by the way.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Wait, what's better, first class or business
class? I think first is better.
No, business class is still
good. Business was sick. Like you could get a meal anytime. Yeah. There was steak sandwiches.
Wow.
There was like little cocktails.
They had tomato and sriracha sauce.
But I'll tell you what, in cattle class they don't have the fucking, I can call it cattle now. That's what my dad calls it. But in cattle class, like they don't have sauces. It's like, give me you can rig the system by
man, the scrambled eggs are so gross.
The ones that have Bloody Marys come through. You say, hey, can I just get a bit of Tabasco on my eggs? Because they have Bloody Mary Tabasco. Anyway.
They've got it all.
That's like trick if you're in business class.
No, that's the trick
if you're in cattle class. Yeah, yeah. Ah, right. Okay, good.
You can get anything you want anytime on business class.
Yeah.
Speaking of those steak sandwiches that Amy said, I had one, but I vomited it up because we were in the lounge before that. It was the first time being in a lounge.
Mm.
So I sampled every cocktail from the menu.
The lounge is
Are
like,
they free?
Yeah, it was all free. Like, they have this big cocktail menu at the bar. Everything's free.
Well, then you're not to blame.
Yeah, so I got mega fucked up before I got on the plane.
And they have like a cocktail bar you just get a cocktail at. You don't have to pay. How weird is that? But you can get there too.
That's how the other side live.
This is amazing.
So wild.
It felt really fucking insane to me though. Like I have such a weird relationship with like money and I felt like I was in hell, even though it was like the nicest place. You know when you're like in somewhere nice and it's like uncomfortable because it's like it should be, you should enjoy it and you like deeply want to be like enjoy it. But I was like, this is so uncomfortable. And like I was trying to like act like poised and like rich. I was like, it's chill. But like I'm not, I can't.
But it's like rich people want to look like poor. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you guys
yeah.
are like in with rich people.
Yeah, we're like really rich.
It like costs a lot of money to look poor nowadays, you know.
It's pretty funny, us crew like rolling in, just like being pretty drunk and pretty loud.
Yeah.
And just everyone kind of just turning around, just like, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
Really funny. It was such a funny experience. And then, we like got to fucking, it was really crazy. Like, it makes me feel like I'm lying. It was so crazy. But like, and I also, I'm like, am I lying? But we like got there or whatever and they had rented out this whole, we got there and there was like a private driver at the place, at the airport and like picked us up.
Did he have a sign?
I can't remember. I think he had a sign.
It would have, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And then they like drove us to this like crazy hotel. Like it was a huge hotel that's usually closed for the season, but Gucci like hired it out. But because we got there first, it was like just us in this literally huge fucking gorgeous hotel in like this like vineyard and shit.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
I felt like a gangster. It was really cool. And then
you just got to get like, was there Hennessy? Then you would have been like in gangster paradise.
I was too
paradise.
Scared to ask. I didn't know if I had to like pay for stuff at the bar and I was like too scared. So I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, we were hell jet lagged as well. We were there for like a day or two before anybody else rocked up and just like kind of rolling around this empty hotel at like 6 in the morning. Just like, it's kind of fucking scary.
The fashion world, it was quite intimidating as well because it's like I don't think any of us have ever considered ourselves as like fashion crew, like even like good looking crew really. So it's like we got there and we're like, whoa, this is pretty intimidating.
Mm.
I was like actually surprised by how nice like the staff were and like just like normal people it kind of was.
Mm.
But like, it was like, it was really intense from like literally like I joke about it, but it's literally like from Kmart to Gucci. It's like we had no like middle ground to like ease into it.
And yeah, just totally.
Like, bow, bow, here we go, baby.
We had fucking no money.
So it was just the two of you guys, yeah?
No, the first time in Sicily, that was the whole band.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. So you went a second time.
Then and then like maybe
they wanted us back.
Yeah.
3 or 4 weeks later, Amy and I did Fashion Week in Milan.
Oh my god.
So we walked the catwalk.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was so nerve-wracking. Because I think it's like, you know, like with the band, it's like I just get to be me and that's like I'm not looking for anyone else to like give approval. Like, it's not, yeah. I don't owe anyone anything. It's just like, this is me and this is what I feel like doing. This is what I want to express, and which is super lucky because, like, not everyone can express themselves, but that's kind of what the band is.
Mm.
But then doing something like a catwalk in Milan for Gucci, it's like, I'm employed. It's like, I have to do a good job for someone because it's like, I've been employed and I want to do a good job and it's not my, like, territory at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't just be, I could have just been Amy. But it's like, I wanted to be like a model.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, I'm like around all these like beautiful models and like they're all experienced. It's like, I want to be a model. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can't just be like crazy punk Amy. Also, it's like walking in heels. I literally had never walked in heels before. So it's like, I was trying to practice and like, I didn't know how to walk in heels and like, I'm short and stuff and like trying to like catch up with the models. And it's like, you know, it's like really fast paced. It was really fast. And the ground was made out
of. You get to practice? Like.
I asked to practice, but it was on carpet. But the actual catwalk was a mirror.
Oh my God.
And then the roof was a mirror and the walls were mirrors. And it had just like strobe lights with this fucking daunting like music. Yeah. And like, we did like practice runs around it. And they were like, keep up.
Oh yeah, that guy
like,
was
don't look
fucked.
In that camera. Don't look in that camera. And I remember like.
Screaming at you.
For one of the practices, I was like walking along and like a corner came and like I was like really nervous, like robot walking. And then like the camera section came and I like glanced at them and they all just laughed. And I was like, fuck. And I was so nervous on the actual day. Like, who's that chick, the Devil Wears Prada? What's her name?
Anna Wintour.
Anna Wintour was like there and she like right next to my face. And I was like, this is intense. And like they all said like, because I got little titties, but they like binded my titties down so I like, couldn't breathe properly. They wanted me to look like I had little less titties. Which is fine, but I couldn't breathe and it was very stressful.
Damn,
the whole time,
crazy.
Like, in my head, I was like, okay, what am I going to do to, like, not have a panic attack and shit while I'm, like, literally on the fucking, like, big
You should have asked the models what they were taking.
Well, they were like, oh, it's chill. I was like, it's fine. Because they were all really good at it. Like,
they're
that's their world.
They're all fucking kids that have, like, were, like, kind of, we were, like, the oldest crew there, except for, like, one other guy.
Are you serious? How old are you guys?
So, whack. We were, like, I'm
23.
I'm 25. We were, like, 23 at the time and, like, the oldest person I think I met was 22 and then they were like 18, 19 year olds.
Yeah.
Or like other people that I've met at other times and it's just like.
What is this world?
Just like, yeah, like just fucking children and they've been scouted when they were like, you know, however 15 old, 15
like,
on the street, wherever they're from in like mainly Europe.
Yeah.
And it's just like that's all they've ever done is just like. Just model.
That's going to be so weird from when they get to like older and stuff. I've had like friends who are models like really young and they get to like 20 and it's like you're too old and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's intense, you know.
I know. That's insane.
It's super, super fucking weird. And because it's like even like on another – when I was doing another thing for Gucci, like I didn't – like this other thing in Paris and because like this
– Yeah, Gus did one like by himself.
There's like a model's bread and butter is just waiting because you're just there for a week and you might shoot once or twice in the week, which will take an hour.
Like in sandwiches
you,
or something.
You just sit there in robes pretty much. You just sit there in robes for hours and
what
like,
the
and,
hell?
Like on hours on end.
It's such
like
a weird
meeting,
thing.
Meeting some of the crew and it's just like, it's kind of fucked up. It's just like these, just children. There's like, can barely probably even speak English. And they're just like all like the modeling. And I'm just like, g'day. Like, I'm in the middle of tour right now. Like, fucking, what's going on? I'm Gus. You know, like, I'm from Australia. Where are you from? And they're just like so like quiet and like scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
It's fucking, it's real weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, like on to backtrack, it's like, yeah, when, cause I was like super nervous. And then I was like, what am I going to do to like not have a panic attack or whatever? And I was like rapping Skepta because he's got that song and it's like, I used to wear Gucci, you put it all on the shelf, but that's not me. So I was like, I'll just like memorize the rap and let's rap it and just pay attention to that. So I did that and I was like, sick. And then I was done.
When you were walking,
when
you
I was
mean?
Walking, yeah.
Right. Because I feel like my like,
the video is so embarrassing. Like it's sick and I'm super proud, but I'm also like, you can see the fear. Yeah. You can like smell the fear on me, I reckon.
It's real funny.
Yeah.
It's real funny.
Well, is it because everyone's taller than Amy? Is that why it's funny?
No, they got like small people. It's just like, even like I, like I'm holding a handbag in it and I'm wearing a really big jacket down
call
to my shins.
Curse.
And like I walked out and I thought, because you meant to just look straight forward, I thought that my bag was flailing around.
Mm.
So I put my arm out and I'm also wearing heels that like are too big for me. Like I'm wearing like a size too big for me loafers with like that big. And I've thought the bag and I just – I kind of like walking like a bloody penguin and I'm just, my arm's just out here because the bag wasn't moving, but I thought
we're
it was.
We actually both were walking like penguins.
Yeah.
Like weirdly enough.
Yeah, it's so funny and I just look so sad.
Yeah, you look really.
Look sick. That's the
Oh
move.
Yeah, they also put on fake
Oh yeah, I had all these like fake tears on my face that like it took hours to put on. And then sometimes they put it up too high and it, like cut into the eyeball. Sometimes it took like hours.
Why did it take so long? Like don't you just put it
they
in
kept
a
on
bit of
fucking
glue?
It up because I was the first person that they were doing it to.
Oh my
so they
God.
Kept on fucking it up trying to get it right. And then they did it to a bunch of other people. But just, yeah, just sitting there and mate. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's a great story.
We've had some whack experiences. Like
been around the block, eh?
Yeah.
Done some pretty fucking wild shit.
So wild. Sounds like you got thrown in the deep end for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time, big time.
Would you go back?
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. I'm a model. Yeah. I don't think they want me anymore though.
Oh, you don't know.
I've cut my locks off. Cut my locks off. I don't think they want me.
Grow it back.
I'm too old now. I'm too old. Oh, I'm 25 now. I'm way too old for that shit.
Did you have the fear of like, did you like, because there's so many movies where they like walk the catwalk. And then they just like kind of stumble in their heels.
I was 200% sure I was going to cark it. I was like, I'm going to slip. Because I was like, I don't know. I literally can't walk in heels. Even to this date, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
you got the thick heels with like.
The thick heels I can do. Yeah, yeah. But even then, I'm like pretty like. And especially because I got the wonky knee in that. So it's like, I was literally like, I'm in my head. I was like, okay, this is what's going to happen, Amy. You're going to cark it. And then you're just going to go full punk mode. And you're just going to have to like. Get hectic and like kind of like crawl and start running or something. Like you just gonna have to lean into it. Life's full of surprises. That's what's exciting though. It's like if that can happen, I'm kind of like, oh, anything actually is black and can happen.
Well, yeah, totally. Like, I mean, you kind of started a solo career.
Yeah, Gus did with his modeling.
No, but I mean, you with like Sleaford Mods.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then,
Viagra
Boys.
I'm so pumped on that. I love those bands heaps. So, yeah, that's pretty sick.
Actually, yeah, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, you know how Dee Dee Ramone was like, he did the Ramones and then he had a short-lived rap career? But like the question was like, I was like, so Dee Dee Ramone had a short-lived rap career after the Ramones, which didn't last long. He eventually went back to punk. I was like, what are your plans for the future of your solo career?
I love rap music. I would, if I, in a heartbeat, I'd fucking rap every day, all day. Literally, that's like the main thing, I reckon.
Amy's the only person I know who can like freestyle. So, you know, at some fucking party or some shit and like a bunch of drunk dickheads just like, and just like, just do the worst freestyles.
Yeah.
Amy is the only person I know that can actually just does it. And she just gets in. And she just lights everyone up. Just like nobody's safe. She'll absolutely.
Nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe. Just fucks everyone up. And it's fucking so fresh.
Nothing brings me more joy than to rap.
All come from different spaces. You're from Hobart, yeah?
Yeah.
And you're from, wait, I wrote it
I'm
down.
From Mullumbimby.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember the circumstances around like seeing your first flyer to go to like a show, like in your respective towns?
Not really. Like for me, I went to one death metal gig in grade 8. And I was like, oh, this is a bit scary.
Did you have the hair for it?
No. Oh, yeah, I did actually. Well, I had, yeah, I had long hair. And I was like, you know, like playing in like little high school bands with my friends and stuff. I went to that and I was like, fuck, this is pretty scary.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wasn't really into it. And then it was Psychroptic for any Tasmanian and Tasmanian metalheads out there listening.
What does that word mean?
I think they hit it pretty big. I don't know, some metal shit. But then after that, I kind of like, I lost interest in music for like a really long time.
Yeah.
And then going to the pub was just going to the pub to drink with my mates was what got me into going to shows again.
Mm.
And like then afterwards playing in bands. Like I was just at the pub drinking with my mates and there was just always shows on and shit. And you're like, oh yeah, fucking, you know, just here for cheap beers or whatever. And then it's like just gradually start going and start like enjoying it and getting into it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what my – I don't know if I saw flyers. Like, because, yeah, Mullumbimby is pretty small and it's like kind of like hippie kind of crew or whatever.
Where is Mullumbimby? Is that near Byron
it's
Bay?
It's near Byron, yeah. So okay. It's like near there. But Byron had this thing called BBHC, which was Byron Bay Hardcore.
Mm.
And I remember I had a friend at the time. We're not – like I haven't seen her in like years. I have no idea anything. But I had a friend at the time called Laura. And just when I was about 13 or 14, she took me along to like a hardcore show in Lismore, which is like – and I was like, fuck, this is so sick. Like it, like everyone was like punching each other and like, you know, it was like just everyone was like angry and shit. And I was like, whoa, this is really, really sick. So then I just kind of like went along to a lot of that kind of stuff. Like there was like all ages shows and like there was this thing called the Yak, which was like a youth center where they like had like gigs come through there. And they're always really small, you know, like small bands would play to like 40 people and sometimes they'd be like up to 100. But it was, yeah, I just really loved it and like loved the kind of atmosphere and stuff like that and, like, you know, pushing people and stuff.
Was it more that, like, Parkway Drive kind
of
scene?
Yeah, kind of Parkway Drive. Like, there was, like, Amity Affliction, but then there was, like, you know, like, there was, like, a band called 50 Lions, I think.
Yeah, and, yeah, like, that they're kind part of thing. That. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I never knew any of the bands and it's, like, I'd listen to them a little bit, like, on my, like, iPod or whatever, but mainly I just liked, like, the kind of like socializing and I like that you could like socialize and like I have so much energy and like it was such a sick place to like get rid of energy and like be around people but I didn't necessarily have to like hold a conversation. It was just like it was like being around people and like being included in something without having to ever know anyone's face or name really.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sick. Like even though I'd get like dropped off by my mom and like get picked up by my mom at like 11 but it was still like sick. I don't know. I just really liked it. Music isn't like a pop quiz for me and it's like I don't know like fun facts about bands and I don't know like the name of like singers of bands, the guitarists of bands, like I don't know any fucking thing about no shit, but I like music and I like live shows and like I like listening to shit, but I'm not studying it. I'm just like enjoying it and experiencing it. And it's like I actually know fuck about fuck, but it works for me.
When you moved into this share house in St. Kilda, right? Did you any of you guys know each other?
Yeah, because I moved down and lived in Laverton with like Bryce, who's the current drummer, and Callum, who's our first bass player. And then we moved from Laverton to St. Kilda, and then Declan moved in at some stage. So Gus is our second bass player, but he's been in the band. We've been in the band for like 5-6 years.
Yeah,
Callum was in for like one. So
coming up on 4 years at the moment.
All right.
Yeah, but I grew up, like, I met Bryce when I was, like, 13 or 14, again, like, up home, because he's from Lennox Head, which is, like, a similar area, like, super coastal vibes or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't know him well at all, but, like, I knew Callum quite well. And then, yeah, just moved in together and started playing like that, really.
So why did you choose, like, St. Kilda or, like, the south side to move when, like, there's more of, like, maybe, like, there's a different punk scene on the north side, I guess, but...
I think as well it wasn't like a driving factor. Like, again, like I didn't know there was like a scene or whatever and like I didn't really know much about local Melbourne bands and I didn't really know anything. It was just kind of like, oh, St. Kilda, that's closer to the city. Like when I moved to Laverton, I was like, whoa, Melbourne's crazy. But I was like, it's not like I thought it would be. But like I didn't really go to gigs when I lived out there and I was like, whoa, yeah, there's like a big Coles here. Like that's cool. Like a train station I can walk to. That's pretty out there.
Yeah.
And then moved to St. Kilda and I was like, whoa, Melbourne's really hectic. Like I didn't really realise what there was because it was like I was just scratching the surface, like just like a kid kind of being like, oh, cool, this is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But then once we moved to St. Kilda, it's like I'd go to gigs like 4 nights a week and it's, I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
That's like Northside's popping.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's like a classic thing as well from like from people I've talked to is like, to move down and, like, go to St. Kilda and be like, oh, yeah, it's, like, I was from the coast. Like, it's near the coast. Like, how good is this? Like, but
yeah, oh, yeah.
And then well, like, I feel Kilda, like eventually yeah. you kind of like integrate and you're like, oh yeah, okay, this is what's sick and that's what's sick. And St Kilda has its merits too. Like we were talking about before, it's like just a real like in brand and stuff, like a real kind of ray of crew. But
yeah,
it's like, it's just nice to be closer to stuff. Definitely.
So how long were you in St Kilda? Like, why did you move to the north side then? And like, which one do you prefer?
I moved to the north side. I can't remember why. I think I was just done at that house. Like I lived there for 2 years or something.
But this was like you're like living with your bandmates.
Living with our bandmates. And I think it was just intense, like just like personal stuff with like between crew and like there was like other people living in the house too.
Hmm.
And I think I was just like, I'm going to move out and like try
some other
stuff.
Yeah, didn't you all move? Like the lease was done or something?
Yeah, I think the lease was like ending.
You all moved.
Yeah.
I can't – where did you move after? Because only like Bryce went to Balaclava.
I moved around heaps that year. Like I was just like subletting for about like a year. I think I'd moved like 5 times in a year. But I think I crashed with you in for a bit in Coburg. I lived in Clifton Hill. Like I subletted there, which was sick. When I still worked at Coles and Pran actually. And I walked to work. Like
just there. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Right.
It's like a scoop. I used to work at Scoop and Way, which is, you know, the nut section. So it's like I was like a Scoop and Way girl. So you're kind of like
Scoop and nuts.
A company rep. So you'd go in
yeah.
and you'd like tidy up the nut section and you'd refill what needed. You'd like flip them around. You'd wash the canisters and you'd have to wear like a little hat and a little vest and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of sick.
Yeah.
Super crazy.
Fine for what it was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd snack all the time. Like, I wasn't meant to, but girl, I love those apricots. But, yeah, I moved to Clifton Hill for a bit. I lived with Gus in Coburg for a bit, and then I hurt my knee and it was, like, all upstairs. So I moved in with my sister for, like, 2 weeks.
What'd you do to your knee?
I tore the cartilage in it.
Your knee works pretty well for someone. Like, just judging by your stage performance, like, works pretty well.
It's back with a vengeance. Yeah, I did it on stage. I, like, did, like, a slat drop. With like boots on, and then I just felt like this mad tear, and I was like, "Oh, that's bad."
Yeah.
And then like stayed up all night, and I was like to the boys, I was like, "Guys, like I think something's really wrong." And they're kind of like, "Yeah, nah, whatever." And then went back to our friend's house, and I was just like in so much pain. I stayed up all night, just like tearing. I was like, "What's going on?"
It's good that you're getting your throat shit done.
Yeah.
Because I feel like pretty much everything you do relies on it right now.
Yeah, literally. Also, it's because I've always had troubles with my voice, just because I'm not trained in any way, and like I just like. Rip it to shreds. I think I'm just prone to like lose it, but I can like hear that my voice is like deeper and hectic and stuff, so I'm like it's time to fix it. Yeah, sometimes I've literally been like can't even like muster up like a little whimper, and then like I'm just like fuck it, I gotta do it, and I can like do this set, but then like trying to talk to people, I'm like hey, how's it going?
There's nothing afterwards. Before or after, there'll be like days of just like
literally like
of just like hand days. Signals and like face signals and mouthing words, and then like absolutely like fuck shit up on stage.
It's so devastating. I'm like kind of just want to like chat with people. Like I'm like a pretty chatty person, and then it's like I'm like stuck in my fucking flesh prison.
Yep.
But yeah, operation will be sick. Just like lasers. It's like a cyst or whatever. So it's like, but I think I talk through my throat.
Right.
Like actually, I think I need to be more like nasally and like talk like more like that because I think it like protects your like throat.
Really? Did you like? Like, I mean, do you have, like, a vocal coach now that's, like, telling you this shit? Or is this, like, all WebMD or something?
Well, I had, like, some vocal singing lessons because I was like, I need, like, help and I like singing, so I want to, like, figure this out.
Mm.
But then, before the operation I've had to have, like, a couple of, like, because they're, like, sometimes you can, like, fix the cyst by, like, just like doing little things like going like
really?
It like massages it
right.
But she was like this isn't helping, you need, and I was like yeah, I'm down for that, but she was kind of telling me like you should talk more like nasally, and I was like full doing like little warm-ups and stuff, but I just cooked it still. I'm like, that's chill.
I'm depressed.
I watched like a bunch of your interview videos. Do you ever get like when you're on tour and you have to do these interviews, do you ever get tired of talking about yourself?
99% of the time, the interviews are so bog standard and shocking. And like even like we copped it on the last, well, like the first album we released, we were on tour. So we were doing like so much press for it. Mm-hmm. And so you'd be rocking up to a venue every day overseas and it'd be like 2 photo shoots, 2-3 interviews every day for however long. And it's so rare that you get an interview that's like even like beginning to be like interesting or engaging.
Yeah.
And something that's like, because once you get that and you have like a good conversation and it's like cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fuck yeah, that was sick. Like, you know,
yeah,
like you actually asked like, like insightful questions. That's not just like, oh yeah, how'd you get your start? Like, yeah, cool.
I'm just gonna delete a couple of questions.
It's like all of that, and it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of just like uncomfortable and like a weird kind of social interaction. Cause like on tour, I don't really socialize that much because I have like I always lose my voice. And so then like in turn, it kind of looks like the only socializing I have is like interviews. Mm. And it's just a weird way to like interact with humans because you're kind of like, oh, these are like real kind of like surface level chats, which is sick. And like, I'm sure people want to listen to that. But at the same time, it's kind of like,
it doesn't feel real.
It doesn't feel real. And then it's like, I feel like there's probably more in my brain that I could share if like, if it was like prompted, but it's like, it's just funny. And it's easy to just be lazy with it and just like give the same answer every time. But it's also kind of fun because it makes you think about stuff creatively. Like if you are asked the same thing constantly, you're kind of like, oh, wait, what else happened that day? Or like, oh, what do I actually think about that? Because you kind of want to say more and like make it interesting. So you're like, it's a bit of like a weird monotonous challenge or something. Yeah. I think somebody asked, I think there's like a couple of funny things. Like someone asked where you got the name and I think like Hilltop Hood's nosebleed section, they're like, what's that lyric? And they're talking about like, this is for the punks. They're
like,
sniffing.
Yeah, it's like keep sniffing. That keep shit sniffing. Is, that shit is for the punks.
And so it's like that was like, oh yeah, that's how we came up with the name because like we're punks, we sniff.
yeah.
Like just like dumb shit like that.
Is it difficult that like, do you feel like if you guys do an interview, it's always you and one of the guys, right? Does that get tiring? Like is it's never like you and Declan or?
Yeah, like I mean, majority of the time, whoever's doing it, like they want Amy. Yeah. And then they'll second of all like want Declan.
Okay.
And then.
Oh, good for you.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't, doesn't go astray too often. But yeah, I mean like it's not.
Why Declan? Is it because he's a guitarist?
It's because he's a guitar player. Yeah. Mm. They'd want the two main people.
Mm. Yeah.
So to speak.
I think the other weird thing with interviews is like, you know, it's like I've never really thought before I spoke or anything, but now it's like you kind of have to be conscious of shit because once you say something, it's like in time forever and like you're like, you know, unless you're like super comfortable with where you're at and shit, it's like you get judged on the stupid shit you just like say, especially if you're like exhausted, like on tour and you're just like buggered and like in a weird headspace, you like say something and it's kind of like a mark next to your name forever and that.
Yeah.
Like even if it's nothing even intense, like if you're just like, oh, I fucking like hate human beings. Like, and then it's like, you know, I actually don't. It's just like the mood I'm in and that.
You have a pretty like, and it's a good thing, like you have like a posy demeanor, you know, but it's like not everyone's posy all the time. And if you feel flat, like if people are watching, I feel like then they're going to be like, oh, like it's like they don't want to see you like that.
Yeah. And maybe it's in my head, but I feel like in general people are like hypercritical of people in the press and that. And it's like, no, I'm just like a human like saying dumb shit and that's chill.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Because I watched like an early interview with you guys doing the one on Sin FM before you guys did the launch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you were like, oops, I don't mean to swear. Oops, I don't mean to swear. And then, like, later on, like, I watched some interviews and, like, fucking this, fucking that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, fully. Because it's super nerve-wracking. Like, and the way that, like, I was trying to do interviews was, like, job interviews where you're, like, trying to, like, you know, like that's the only experience we'd had with interviews, or at least myself. So it's like the only way you're like doing it is being like, yeah, I'm really like arrive on time, and like you're trying to like sell yourself to the like because you want the job. But then you're like at some point it flicked in my head. I was like, wait, this isn't that. Like I can just say whatever I want.
Yeah.
As well, because like, you know, we're pretty young, like we're babies in the scheme of things. So it's like when we started, it's like I was like, I don't know, 20 or whatever when we did that first interview. So it's like just a different brain set as well. You're just kind of like, oh, fuck, I don't know, I can't.
But I also feel like people like you being your authentic self, you know, and that's like something that is like really engaging and why, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
for
it's
sure.
not like it's just like a persona or whatever. You're just like, oh, I like doing what I'm doing and I like to chuck a mosh and
like to chuck a mosh. Oh, I love a chuck a mosh.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it sounded like 2019 you guys toured a shit ton, right?
Yeah.
That was the year like
2018, 19. 19 was the real fucking hard one.
Yeah.
Where we absolutely smashed it.
Yeah.
Punched it real hard.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you like get sore hands and wrists and shit playing guitar and stuff, but like yeah, like you said, it's like you're singing and then you want to talk to people.
Yeah.
You just can't, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You're like forced to like just be antisocial and stuff. So it's like I feel like, you know, like tour's fucking – like you shared that fucking funny thing on Instagram with like the guy talking about tour.
Oh, which one was that?
It was
that?
Like recent, like I just saw it the other day and it was like this guy being like, I fucking hate tour. And
oh,
like,
dude, that was Mikey Young.
Oh,
Mikey.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was like so because I did the Amy and Al thing. I was like looking at their videos and I was like watching that one. He's just like, so how do you feel? He's like, oh, you know, it looks like I'm doing a good job on stage, but really I just want to fucking die. And I was like, I laughed so I was like crying.
I loved that. I saw that and I was like, yes, bitch, put it into words. Like, because it's literally like I love the gig part of it. I'm like, this is sick. But the rest of it, I'm literally like, fuck this shit. Anyway.
Yeah, big time. It can get real fucking cooked. Especially in Amy's situation if she like can't talk and shit.
Yeah.
And then she's just like kind of like huddled up in a green room, like trying to fucking hide from people.
Yeah.
Just like drunk punishers that are just like, oh, fucking hell, I haven't seen a band as good as you since ACDC in the 70s. And you just get some bold fucking middle-aged white man.
Yeah,
he's just like, fucking, oh, man, haven't seen a band as good as you since the Sex Pistols. You guys are real punk. And it's like, get fucked, cunt. Like,
they really
fuck
love
off.
Saying that shit,
they
hey.
Love it, hey. It's like, no, listen to bloody Cardi B and come back.
Yeah.
We're like fine, but it's like there's so many bands like equally as good as us. It's just that like they haven't had the same amount of like exposure or whatever, or like chose not to have the same amount of exposure.
Yeah, they just get it. They get a couple of drinks in them and then they just want you to sign fucking like every record they have.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like in Amy's second, which you can't talk, and then just barge into the green room and it's just like you're just like super
it's
fucking
so
isolating.
Weird how they feel so entitled to do that.
So
as well.
Entitled. Yeah. People are just like fucking you're just how they like get in your space and they think that you fucking owe them everything.
Yeah. Like, I feel like two minds about it though, because it's like on one hand I like really love that. Like if I didn't lose my voice, like I'd be pretty down to like just like chat with people and like, oh, this is sick. They're like, we're doing something that people like and that feels nice and like it's sick sign and stuff. It's like, oh, that's super flattering. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, like I've only got a certain amount of energy and like I've only got a certain amount of like social fucking currency. And it's like I do need to like reserve that and like be a sane human. But at the same time, it's like I don't want to be a cunt, but in some places you just have to be because you're like, I just want to chill or like, oh, I just want to like catch up with this person or like, or you know, like,
totally.
You know that it's like super like
conflicting. You can't be five people at once, you know.
Yeah, because it's got like it's sick, but it's also like, yeah, I think it's just overwhelming too, like, because. Like I can socially like chat, but it's like I actually also really struggle like socially and like to like maintain friendships properly and like all that kind of stuff. But it's like people just expect that it's like super crazy for me because I like literally my face is like resting smiley face. Like
totally.
You know what I mean? Also, I think back to like the old crew kind of thing. I think like there is definitely like a bunch who are supportive, but at the same time, it's like I think a lot of them are surprised as well because they have this idea about us like that we're like a certain kind of person, but they're surprised when we kind of like drop in on like political like ideas and stuff like that. Like even if it's like something like feminism when it's like, bitch, what the fuck do you think this is? Like I'm in a bikini, this is for me. But like they're surprised by like super subtle stuff when it's like, this is our opinions, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it. And they're like, oh, we really like you and you're such a sweetheart, but I wish you would like stop talking about like, I don't know, like Indigenous rights or something like, that kind of shit. And you're like, shut the fuck up. Yeah, it depends on the day. It's like I'll either like receive, like, oh, you're true, or I'll be like pretty loopy.
Yeah. Like, do you ever like if someone goes up to her, like, do you have like a third eye kind of like looking out for her? Or?
I mean, to an extent, but also Amy can fucking like handle her own shit. Yeah. Like so good. Mm. And like totally trust that.
It's super weird as well because it's like, yeah, because it's we started so young and stuff and everything's popped off for us like pretty young, mm. which is like sick or whatever, but it's also like it shapes you super weird socially because it's like that's like a normal for us to be like, oh, everyone, like someone's punishing me, which like normal crew don't have to think about. And it's like shapes your brain real unhealthy like. You're like, but it's like it should be a sick thing or whatever. And then you're like, this is a weird thing. It's kind of like hard to land in a place and be like, oh, what the fuck is going on?
Totally. And even like just going to the pub and just like, you know, you're just trying to have a couple of casual drinks and like people are just staring at you.
Yeah.
And you're like, are they staring at me because they know who I am?
Mm.
Or are they staring at me just, I don't know, because I look different or something? Or like do they just fucking hate me? And you just have like no idea, even just walking down the street or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just, yeah, it's like interacting in the world in kind of a different way.
That's weird.
Because
yeah.
you're so, you feel so much more like visible.
Yeah.
And then you don't know. And then just even just like, yeah, people just fucking like shouting shit at cars at you and beeping. And I'm just like, oh, fucking like.
Really?
So we're like, I thought it was super weird. Like when I moved to
just
Melbourne.
Like it is for normal women sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I was like, it'd be funny if it was just like a bunch of middle-aged ladies like, like just like gossip.
Tradie
like,
ladies. Like,
yeah. yeah.
Beauticians. <they're> like. Yeah. No, really, I'm such a paranoid person like in general. Like I'm like super like everyone's got ulterior motives.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah, it's, totally. No,
it's heightened, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everyone is out to get everyone, maybe. Or maybe I'm just paranoid. Who knows?
Like, I mean.
It's and this like, is like zooming out in terms of like the whole world, not just. It's like, it's that's super nice when you find like, I feel like the best kind of people are the people who are like deeply like supportive and like down for you to do whatever and like try new things, but also they are the same kind of people that'll call you out if you actually are doing something that's like offensive or like affecting or like just like morally wrong. Like, cause you don't want to be like you don't want to be around people who are like, what? Like you did that. That's crazy. And all you did was like buy a soda that was like not $5, it was $10. Like, you know, but it's like, yeah. just like, please call me out if I'm being a dickhead or like if I'm actually doing something that's like deeply offensive or like upsetting to you, like I'd really want to hear it. But if I'm not, like literally like pass away.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like most people are just down to learn anyway, like in general. Like most people just want to like learn and like be the best kind of version of themselves. Like even if they don't really think like that, I think deep down that's like the vibe, you know. So it's like it's criticism's dope, but it's just like careful. Be careful. Don't get me on the wrong day.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
After talking about Gucci, have you been approached by like a company or a band or anyone that you haven't wanted to work with?
Yeah, kind of. We've got some like weird offers, like I'm pretty sure, but nothing heaps, like nothing intensely. Like I think TikTok were like, oh, we're looking for like bands or whatever. And like vaguely, like, I don't know, just like random shit like that where it's like a half offer where they're just kind of like scouting shit and it comes to our inbox and it's kind of like they haven't like specifically asked for us but we're like, nah. Like
it just seems like a generic email or something.
Yeah, or it's like through like a company or whatever and they're kind of like, let's see who's interested. And then if we were to like agree, then it would like the conversation would go further but we kind of always like,
yeah. Yeah.
And that even kind of shit like, I don't know, because like half the time, well, when shit was like, you know, like 2019, for example, when shit was normal, and like you'd get like the fucking like Rod Laver tour, like those big bands and all that shit. You get a bit of that. Like I can't even.
Oh, what band?
I'm trying to, like there's been so many.
John Farnham, right?
There's been so many. Like
there was one. I can't remember what it was though.
It was like we've had like it's so long ago and so fuck like it's actually like had a fair few. Like I could be wrong, but I'm like shit. Like maybe like. Fucking like Jane's Addiction or like Queens of the Stone Age. Like just like shit. Like, well, like, I could be like totally wrong even saying that.
Yeah. Because
I can't really remember.
Just something like that.
But like
that.
Those bands that and kind it's just of vibe. Like that, that vibe of that sort of shit. And it's like, all right, tour in Australia, da da, you're on a sport. And it's like, and half the time, we, even if we wanted to, we couldn't have because we were just doing shit already.
Yeah.
Because shit's planned so far in advance.
Well, that's kind of a good excuse to get out of it. Yeah. As well.
But even still, it's just like, but yeah, like kind of like a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
Even like, you know, because before this time last year, I think it was like March or maybe it was like June last year, we were meant to go on tour with like Green Day and Fall Out Boy and Weezer.
Are you serious?
It was like, and it's like a European, it was like a Green European Day stadium tour. With, and it was like Green Day headlining. Then it was Weezer, Fall Out Boy and us opening. Yeah. So that was like fully like announced and stuff, which was like huge and sick and like fucking unreal and crazy. But I remember it was like a bit of conflict like when we were asked because we're all kind of like, this is pretty hectic and stuff.
Hmm.
A lot of the time it's like making a decision kind of thing, being like, what kind of like, what are we? Like what is, I think in the end it just comes down, we have no idea what we're doing and we just take random shit and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Big time.
Like we do heaps of stuff that's embarrassing and like not aligned with our morals and shit, but we just do it for some reason like, that I don't really know yet.
And like not even like that. It was just like, because at the start it was a super conflicting thing, like the Green Day thing. It was like, whoa, like truth. Like, oh, I don't know about this.
I feel like and that's hard because it's like you think back, you're like, oh, they were like a punk band originally.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you're like, but like they haven't been underground for like a long, long time. You know?
Like massive. And like at the start it was like, whoa, like fuck, I don't know about this. But then towards the end I was like, fuck, no, this is fresh. Like
yeah.
Fucking roll fresh. It. Like yeah. it was like, fuck yeah, this is sick. I can't fucking wait for this.
Damn.
Like it's a new thing. It's a new experience. Yeah. Just like doing a fucking stadium tour around Europe.
This is for you, Amy. I saw that you did like a cooking show, but you also like to paint. So if you had to choose between one or the other, which one would you prefer to do?
I would definitely paint because yeah. I like paint because it's like slowing down and like I can like use my brain and like listen to other stuff and like paint and it's just kind of fun. But cooking, I'm not very good at it and I don't know anything about it.
So like you've been active as a band for like honestly like a track, it's like been just under 5 years
yeah.
now. Like do you ever like look back on like videos and interviews and shit and just like – like, cringe. How does it feel to, like, see the changes?
It's intense.
In such a short amount
past.
Of time.
Well, I don't hate the past. That's a bit intense. But I guess, like I was saying at the start or whatever, it's like you say something or you are who you are for a second and it's just everything's, like, snapshots of that. And it's kind of like so we kind of have, like, grown up publicly almost. It's, like, weird as. Because then you're like, oh, fuck, that's embarrassing. That's fucking embarrassing. Because I look at what I'm doing now, I'm like, shut the fuck up, bitch. But
big time.
It's just part of it,
big
I think.
Time. Yeah.
But mainly definitely, like even like listening to old music and stuff, I'm like, fuck, we've done good with that. Like there's sick lyrics. But because yeah. I'm coming from a place where I think I personally reckon I've evolved and years have evolved, I like look back and I'm like, what the fuck? How do people?
You just change so much.
Yeah.
And then like you look back and it's just like, oh, true. Like it does hurt to look. But I mean, nowadays, just choose. Oh, like in terms of everything, in terms of like personally, like I don't look back at old videos. Just like I don't read reviews. I don't read anything. Yeah. Like I don't read Instagram comments. I'm so like, I'm just.
But there's definitely stuff where I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, that's pretty sick. Like that was a good show. That's cool. There's footage from that. Or like, oh, that's kind of like whatever. Like I kind of like pay that that's just what it was. So I'm like, yeah. That's sick. But then sometimes I'm like, oh, girl, why are you wearing that?
Well, it's hard because I feel like it's the past. But at the same time, you know that when you were doing that stuff, you were trying your hardest. So you can't give yourself shit. You know, like you can't just be like at the same time being in the future, you've changed since then, you know. Yeah. So you've got to give yourself props.
Because that's all you know at the time or whatever anyway.
And even still, like everything you do, even if like personally you look back on the past and like you cringe at it, but there's still fucking back and you're like, fuck, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they like think that what you were doing was cool and they're really into it. Yeah. Even with like old bands, like playing and like still have people coming up.
It makes it sick. It's like, because you kind of appreciate, like, well, I might think this is a bit, how's it going or whatever now. But at the time, it's like, I was super, super fucking deeply proud of that and heaps of resonated with it for like whatever reason. It's like, that's fucking dope as.
Who do you reckon would win in a fight, Bon Scott or Lobby Lloyd and why?
Woof.
Ooh, I reckon I.
How tall
do you want
is
me to
he?
Do you want me to give you a year or something? Like
I feel like Lobby Lloyd would win, or I feel like Bon Scott is hyper, but he's quite small. I reckon he'd kind of like, yeah, let's go, and be like all hype. But like Lobby Lloyd would just be like, this is annoying, and like punch him, and then he'd like be done. But maybe Lobby Lloyd would reasonable. Be like quite peaceful and like within himself and be like, look, I don't care, cunt. And in turn, he'd be like, I don't want to fight. I'm going to put my money on Lobby.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll pay that. I'll pay that for sure.
If you are calm and present and like on it, that's when like the best fighters happen. I know this because I'm the one, Scott, where I'm like, I'm so far in like short fuse. I'm just like, let's go.
Well, I was going to ask out of the three guys in the band, who would win a fight? Because Amy's out because she would automatically just like win.
Like that would be fucked to watch.
It's spicy shit. It'd be like, spicy.
In my head, I see like three fish. Like, please stop. No, you
just
stop.
Slapping.
Like slapping. Like,
wait, I cough, man. Stop.
I don't know. I feel like there's something in Bryce. Like I feel
this
like
is, this is too spicy.
Bryce is like a well, and I don't know how deep he goes, but I know that under the surface there's some fucking evil, and I feel like he could win out of just like Declan would like to think he would win, but I think that he's the biggest one, and I feel like he could definitely get some good hits in, but I don't think that's at all, which is dope. But you would chuck in a couple of strong elbows and like maybe like a choke.
Out of all of that, who's on top?
No comment.
Because everyone's got something. Like Declan's got like the height and like the long arms. Everyone's probably got like pent up demons. I don't know. I think they love each other too much.
No comment.
So, okay, no answer to that one.
We should get padded up sometime.
Oh, that's going to be your next music video, I reckon.
Maybe we should get greased up, get in a fucking like little bath.
That's
something.
A sick idea.
Right? Yeah, we'll get a jelly fight cracking.
I don't reckon you will come though.
We got to keep fucking, what's the word I'm looking for?
At the Arias, outfit. They like, they dressed outfit, us or whatever. They gave us like outfits at the Arias, which is fucking sick.
For 2019, yeah.
For 2019, do you ever wear yours?
I've pretty much given away a lot of it.
Yeah.
I've given away a lot of shit. Yeah. I've got my loafers. I got some good, I got some loafers. I got a tracksuit. I got some jewelry and shit.
No way to brag.
I've given a fuck. I've given
up. Like, I reckon 2 beers in. You'll hear from like a distant echo just like, I'm a fucking Gucci model.
Not even 2 beers. Yeah, I'm a model.
He's not lying.
It's not a joke. You can call me a lot of things. Yeah. But I'm not a liar.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, I've been around the block.
Senior citizen.
Big time. Fucking big time.
Yeah, get on the pension.
The fucking super coming in straight away.
Yeah. Favorite punk bands from Australia? From the last, or bands from Australia.
I mean, there's so
from the last
many,
couple of years,
really.
Yeah.
Fucking Flea.
I got the mic.
No, I'm just like fucking Flea. Like,
I feel like when we first started, like we played with, like I really loved garage music and played with heaps of garage bands, like, you know, like Dumb Punts and Drunk Mums and like that kind of, you know, like that kind of evolved and stuff and like. Like all the kind of like Maggot Fest lineups were sick. And I really like Sex Drive. I think they're great. Mm. I really like, there's this band called Nasho, but I don't think they play anymore, but I really like them.
Yeah.
There's like a band called like Miniskirt, which I pay them a fair bit. I really like Parsnip.
Yeah.
Spike Fuck's awesome.
Spyfuck's so good.
I really like Peter Bibby. I listen to a lot of, definitely just like kind of been mainly listening to like rap and hip hop like intensely for the last like 2 years, to be honest. But that maybe that's a stretch, but a long time. Again, it's like same kind of vibe where it's like I love going to see live music and stuff. And like truth be told, I don't actually listen to that much music, but I love like chucking on like radio shows. Because like it's like, you know how like you go on Netflix and you try and like pick a movie and you just can't think any, but like if you just chuck on TV,
yeah,
you can like flick and you like enjoy it.
Total Control was my first, or not even. I was actually, because I was thinking about it.
Mm.
I was thinking about it before coming in. My first like foray into Melbourne music, at least, was, even kind of the Australian unders going on in Hobart, was like, fuck, what was it? It was like, I'd been going to local shows. I'd been going to like a bunch of local shows and I was kind of getting into it, da 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 da. And I was like wanting to start a band.
Mm.
And then I started a new job like the first week there, I met this guy called Richie, who I ended up starting a band with later. And the first thing, and he was like, shit. And I really didn't know anything. And he was just like, oh, da da. He's like, you should listen to Cunts.
Yeah.
Like, listen to Cunts. So I fucking checked out Cunts. After that, like,
that's
through,
funny.
Through him, he put me on to like other certain bands. And then even when I first met Declan at the Brisbane Hotel in Hobart, because my old band played with his old band. And I was like, oh, like, give me some like Melbourne bands to listen to. And I was trying to think. And he told me to listen to Grotto and he told me to listen to Whipper.
Oh, Grotto are great.
So good.
Yeah, and they're fucking awesome, both of them.
Told me one other band, but I can't remember who the fuck it was because I was thinking about it. But then after that, because then – after later, I met Bryce and Amy because I was in Melbourne for the first time.
Mm. This is how I met him, by the way. So I was like asleep in that, and they just came home from probably like Rebs or something. And I was just like walking down the hall. I was like, what the fuck? Who the fuck is this? And like, I could just constantly, like, every 5 minutes, I'm Gus from Tassie. I'm Gus from Tasmania. I play in Bus Money, literally.
Then we all jumped on our bed, the
and
crew that was there.
And jumped on my bed and like woke me up and stuff. And then Gus was like, oh, yeah, like I'm. Or like trying to talk and stuff, do you want to come? So he came for a coffee with me and we were sitting at this like coffee shop just around the corner and then he just kind of like passed out and I was like, what the fuck? I kind of came to. And then I was like, okay, we're just going to like walk home. We like walked past to Coles and he like pissed on it. I was like, this guy's fucking pretty out there, bro.
But that was my like first introduction. But then meeting the band, I started coming to Melbourne every month, the weekend, and stay with them. And I'd like go to Maggot Fest and shit and like, fucking just do all that sort of stuff, which got me more and more into like well into it.
Yeah.
Because before I was just like, when I was in Tassie, before I came to Melbourne, I was like, fuck Melbourne. I was just like, fuck all these cars. I was just like, this is so fresh.
You didn't even listen to music anyway, you were saying. You were just going to the pub and having drinks. Well, this is after that.
Like, I'd already started playing music by this point.
All right.
Like, I'd already, like, I was in a, played at like two or three venues.
So funny.
But it's like, Hobart's pretty, like, pretty pressed for venues. It's like mainly Brisbane Hotel.
Yeah.
And then there's like the Pooh Bar.
You say one of your favorite shows was like at the Brisbane Hotel.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah. That one where we played, because I liked it because upstairs there was like a red room. I'm impressed by the simple things. But it was just a sick pub and it was just fun because we were staying upstairs for the band then.
Okay, speaking of.
Yeah. Like I was in the band then because I met Declan that way. And then like after that first time, Declan and Amy both booked. Both's Money, my band.
Mm.
Like after meeting them, then maybe the next time I was up, they both booked shows for us.
Because I used to book it. You know how the Curtain used to have the release?
Yeah.
I booked for them for like a year or something.
That's cool.
Which was sick. But I booked Bus Money and then you played at Cherry Bar too, I think.
Yeah.
What year
was
this? 2016.
So that was when
it would have been 2016.
It would have been 2016.
That was when AML just started.
Yeah. I reckon I would have started booking 2015 and then like bled into 2016.
AML started like before I knew they existed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like, yeah, met them through that. And yeah. And then because I remember playing and then going to Power's launch afterwards.
Oh, yeah, Power are good too.
Mm. And it was, I think it was their album launch and that was like the first like proper Melbourne show I went to.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like, 2016 or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, fuck, maybe even 15.
It would have been 2015 because I reckon.
2015, maybe 2015.
I reckon you're right. I reckon like around June 2015 is probably when I started doing that.
Yeah, right. Like, 15, not 2016.
Something like that. Because I don't reckon I was in a band when I was booking.
Yeah, like the majority of it. But going sorry, back to the original.
Yeah.
It, at the moment, like Australia was, it's like Dick Diver and Low Life and like Royal Headache. And you fucking love that shit.
You still jam
like,
it.
I still fucking smash
it. Oh, it's great.
Real hard.
You've been involved in like the punk scene for the last couple of years with COVID happening, like in punk in 2021.
Ooh, interesting.
I mean, like outside of the obvious, like, you know, like seeing and also because, you know, we've recorded an album and shit. Like outside of, I mean, predictions, outside of, you know, seeing heaps of motherfuckers releasing all their bedroom shit fresh, which is fucking fresh. I don't know. And then even now, like with gigs firing up and shit again, but it's like pretty slow. Like I've seen two even like, I don't know, hopefully like more fucking like DIY shit or like even like, I don't really know. Hopefully more.
I think 1 year's done.
Hopefully more shit like that or something new like that.
It's hard to say. I like literally kind of predicted, eh?
What do you guys have? Like, do you guys have anything planned for this year?
Yeah, kind of. Like we worked on an album, which is on some stage, but just fucking nothing huge. Like we got stuff penciled in that I reckon will get canned because like it's overseas stuff and I reckon it would just be kind of crazy to try and like.
Well, it's kind of optimistic planning, right?
Optimistic planning. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it's just so fucking, it's just like Corona. We've had shit penciled in and cancelled and penciled in and cancelled. And it's like not even at any stage were we hopeful that it was going to happen. It's like, it's, you know, we got an album coming out this year at some point.
Yeah.
Once we, you know, put all the pieces together.
Yeah.
Mid-year, like, you know, that's going to be coming out. And everything else, touring, I think the goal this year is also getting way more regional.
That'd be so fun too. Like I'd love that, I reckon. Like,
yeah, like, getting out to places so that we sick. Haven't played before.
It'd be so fun to just like see different shit and like meet different crew and like the beach and that and like the sand and whatever.
Because we were so turbo for 2018, 2019 overseas and then we barely like, we played in Australia. Well, like we played in 2019 because we were just so heavy overseas because it was so much.
Yeah.
And like obviously like just played the major cities. It was just like Sydney, Brisbane, Perth.
Yeah, fucking totally.
Just like Adelaide, all that. So it's like now like with the opportunity, it's because like we can fucking play other places. Yeah.
It can sometimes feel like a bit of a shame to just be kind of like disconnected from the Australian music scene because like we love all that stuff and there's definitely like still but it's like, oh, you know, that's what we love and they're like raised on and like our inspiration, like we get take so much inspiration from it so it's kind of like, well, it's so exciting to think that you like playing with that a bit more. I guess as well it's a pretty lucky standpoint as well to be like looking back and playing in Australia soon rather than being like, oh, you know, we're super lucky that we have got to play overseas and learn that. Like, that's sick as I reckon.
Like, I think the coolest thing about you guys is that, like, you'll still do things to support, like, the punk scene. Like, even when, like, you did the calendar thing and rocked up and you're like, I remember, yeah, you rocked up to the calendar gig to play a show and you were just, like, you rocked up and you're like, I don't have any money and I'm hungry, you know, and you're, like, you're rocking up to a show to give money to other people, you know.
Yeah, fully.
So I think that's pretty cool.
Fuck yeah.
That shit's the best as well. Like, it's, I reckon. Like, yeah, I think totally. We all are like super grateful that we're included in it because, like, in a lot of ways, I feel like I reckon I can safely say we all feel pretty uncomfortable, but also stoked at how, like, we're like, whoa, this is a surprise. But then it's like mad. It's mad ass.
Now you remind me, like, my friend, I had to fly back to Tassie the next day. Barely knew him at the time. Yeah. He put $10 in my pocket and I found it the next day before I got on the flight. I was like, fuck yeah, I can eat before I get it, like get on the plane.
What'd you buy, a beer?
Oh, I bought Macca's, of course.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the end of another episode of the Modern Australian Underground. Thanks again to Gus and Amy. And don't forget that you can contact me at litmus.media. Keep listening to the rest of this episode for some bonus content.
Like, I mean, we should do a rap, but all we do is rag on Gus.
Let's do it.
Yeah, right. Fucking all light right. me up. But also,
let's go.
Wait. I'll just get like a
fucking terrible.
And so I don't have to.
Gus Roma, he's a motherfucking loner. He 2 a.m. He wants nothing but good friends. But he is just a loner, drinking on a fucking Sophie Spritz. Alcohol levels are low, but he does not. He's a motherfucking thought. He is on the gram posting pics, but boy does not look hot. And his redhead Gucci model, that is all he reps. He only got regrets, smoking bongs, 2 a.m. Here he is, once again, playing beats off his phone. He can't beatbox, he's alone. He thinks he can play bass, but he barely has a face worth mentioning. I'll get him dancing on his grave. I look good while I'm twerking. His mommy asking for a little help. He's down in fucking Hobart trying to teach him about his health, but he never fucking listens. His skin, it fucking glistens in the sun. But he's a glafter.
Yes! That's sick.
Litmus Media.